Okay, again, we welcome you tonight to our Christmas service, carol service for 2020. Again, a warm welcome to our visitors. It's so good to have you with us. Thank you for taking the time to be with us here tonight. We'd also like to take the opportunity to extend a warm welcome to you for our Christmas Day service. It'll be 9:30 on Friday, Christmas Day. All are welcome to attend. We start a little bit earlier and try and keep the service reasonably brief so that people can get to family events and so on. But if you would like to be here with us on Christmas Day, 9:30 a.m., we would welcome you to be there as well. Okay, we have a Christmas message tonight. We're here for a Christmas theme, and so we're going to look at some verses tonight. And I'm going to draw your attention to two banners we had made up for the Christmas services. We have one here with the verse on it, Isaiah 9, verse 6. And then we have this one over here with a verse from Matthew and chapter 1 and verse 21. And we had these banners made up. And as I thought and prayed, I felt that the Lord would have me really address the two themes on these banners. We have the first theme, who is Christ? Who Christ is? It's important you understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. After all, we've been singing about him tonight, haven't we? And it's important we understand who he is. And then very importantly, the other theme on this banner over here, why Jesus Christ came. So important you understand the answer to both those questions tonight, because the answer to those questions can change your life and ultimately mean heaven for eternity. So important that we have these questions and that we understand them tonight. So we're going to just have a word of prayer and then we'll get into our message for tonight. Lord, again, we thank you for this evening and thank you for all those who have made the effort to come. We thank you for this opportunity to preach the gospel, the glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray now for the help of the Spirit of God for the preacher. Help me to be clear, Lord. Help me to be to the point. And I pray that you would give each one listening here tonight the understanding of your word. And we pray that there would be hearts open tonight to receive you, Lord Jesus, as the greatest gift of all. So bless us now and help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people today are confused, aren't they, about those two questions. Who is Jesus Christ and why did he come? And people put forward all sorts of theories, don't they, to try and answer those questions. Even in Jesus' day, when he was walking here on earth, when he asked the disciples in Mark chapter 8, verse 27 and 28, whom do men say that I am? The disciples, the men following Jesus Christ, gave a variety of answers, the different opinions that existed even in the time of Christ. And they answered John the Baptist, but some say Elias, that's Elijah, and others one of the prophets. So even in Christ's day, there was a variety of opinions and ideas about who is this Jesus. But we need to turn to the Word of God tonight to find the answer as to who he really is. Yes, he was a prophet. Yes, he was a great man. Yes, he was a great example, but he was way more than that. And so tonight I want to draw your attention to this first banner and the verse that we have here from Isaiah 9, verse 6. This verse is an ancient prophecy from the book of Isaiah. It was written over 700 years before Jesus Christ came. I'm going to invite you to read this verse with me. Now, if you can't see it, I'll put it up on the screen there as well, because this verse really answers for us the question about who Christ is. So would you read it with me on the count of two, starting with the word for over there. One, two. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You'll notice there in the verse that there are five truths about who Christ is. What's the first one there? His name shall be called what? Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, we think about the word wonderful and we use it today maybe to describe something we like. We say, isn't that wonderful? Okay, and it does mean that. But it's very interesting to study this word wonderful, and it tells us something about the Lord Jesus Christ. The word has the idea of a miracle, a marvelous thing, a wonder. Very often this word is used in the Bible to describe God's wondrous works. So the miraculous things that God does. And so we find that this word describes for us the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the miracle of Christmas, It was a wonder, wasn't it? What a wonderful thing, what an amazing thing that the God of eternity, the Creator, the one who made all the things that we see, that he would come and take on human flesh. That's a miracle. That's a wonder. You see, Jesus Christ is the wonder child, as it were. He is the wonderful one, the miraculous one. There was something so special, wasn't there, about Christ. He was not just any ordinary person. He was wonderful. He was miraculous. Think about the wonder of his birth and the wonder of his incarnation, where we have the coming together of the divine and the human. You see, Jesus Christ is 100% God and he is 100% man. Luke chapter 1 verse 35 says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," that is Mary, "the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so God did a miracle where the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the name of Mary. She was a good woman. She wasn't a perfect woman. In fact, Mary herself would say in her great prayer, "My soul has rejoiced in God my Saviour." Now, if Mary needed a Saviour, she must have also been a sinner. So she was a good woman, but she was not perfect. She also needed a Saviour. But the wonderful thing about Christ is that he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary without the aid of a human father. You see, the Bible tells us that sin is passed down through the father. Romans 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so we've all inherited, sadly, that sin nature that comes down to us through our father. But the Lord Jesus, because he was conceived in the virgin's womb by a miracle work of the Holy Spirit, that meant that he was born without original sin. He had no sin in him at all. He was the perfect child. So when we think about the question tonight, who is Christ? The verse answers that for us. He is the wonderful one, the miraculous one, the one who came as the Bible tells. Number two, we notice that he is also called the what? The Counselor. The Counselor. Now, this word means to advise. Okay, when you go to a counselor, you're going to someone who perhaps has wisdom and knowledge in a certain area that you don't have, and you go to them for counsel. Well, this is an interesting word that describes Jesus Christ. He is the Counselor. And by this simply means that Jesus Christ is the source of all wisdom and the source of all truth. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, "In whom," that's referring to Jesus, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Do you know what Jesus Christ claimed when he came to earth? In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Did you know that Jesus Christ is the truth? Don't we live in a world today that is so confused? Isn't it hard to know what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false? You watch things on the media and on the news and you say, what's true? There's this opinion and that opinion, and I'm lost in this sea of ideas. Can I just tell you tonight, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the truth. And he has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so he's called the Counselor. Wouldn't it be good if you went to Christ for some counsel tonight? If you came to God's word and read what Jesus said, particularly his counsel about how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. When you read in the Bible, God's word, you have the truth. It's an infallible guide for us for now and eternity. And so we need to listen to Christ, the Counselor, tonight. What does he say? Well, he said many things, but he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. Do you know what that means? It means that there is no eternal life in heaven without Christ. There's only one way to heaven, Jesus said. People today sometimes think, well, there are many roads to God. All religion leads to the same God. Don't they say that? No, that's not true. Jesus is the counselor. He's the source of all truth. And he said he is the only way. But notice thirdly, he's also called what? The mighty God. That tells us something about who Jesus is, doesn't it? Did you know that Jesus Christ is God? This is a prophecy, an ancient prophecy of Jesus Christ, written over 700 years before he came, and it predicted and prophesied that he would come, and it calls Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the mighty God. You need to understand that. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He's not Michael the Archangel, like the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you when they come and knock on your door. He is not anything less than God. He is God, manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the wonder of Christmas. You say, who is this babe lying in a manger? It's God. It's God in the flesh. Isn't that an amazing thing that God would humble himself and take upon himself human flesh? That's amazing. That shows how much God loves us and how much God cares for us. What hope there is in that message. What wonderful blessing. What hope there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the mighty God. When Jesus was here on earth, he said before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am. He is God manifest in the flesh. What's one of his names? Isaiah 7:14, another prophecy here. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hopefully you heard us singing about him. He is Emmanuel, the God of all eternity, the God of all the God there in human form. And so Emmanuel means God with us, Matthew 1:23 tells us. So you need to understand who Christ is. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So you've got to believe not just in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, but you need to also understand who he is, who Christ is, and what he has done. Notice then, fourthly, he is called the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Notice here that Jesus Christ is everlasting. You say, what does that word mean? Well, the word everlasting simply means that Christ has no beginning and he has no end. Jesus Christ is eternal. That means as far back as you can think, way back into eternity past, Jesus Christ was there. And so you need to understand that. If Jesus Christ did not come into existence the day he was born there to the Virgin Mary. No, Jesus Christ existed with the Father in all eternity past. The Bible teaches the truth of one God manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And so Jesus Christ is everlasting. But notice he's also called the Father, Everlasting Father. This is interesting, isn't it? It does not mean that Christ replaces God the Father, but we know that Jesus Christ himself said, didn't he? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John 14, verse 9. And in John 10, verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. So the Lord Jesus Christ reveals the Father to us. He is the one who reveals God to us. Jesus Christ came. He is the Everlasting Father. But doesn't the word Father also speak to us of the heart of this Messiah? That he can be a father to you. That he has tender love towards you. Do you realize that tonight, that God loves you? The Bible says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he is the Everlasting Father. Notice number five now, he is called what? The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Don't we live in a world that is without peace tonight? a world that is so troubled. You know, in many ways, people are not even at peace with themselves, are they? There's so much turmoil and so much unrest in their hearts. They're not at peace with themselves. They're not at peace with their neighbours or with their fellow man. They're not at peace with God. But Jesus Christ came so that we might have peace. Do you remember when Jesus was born and how the angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields? Remember, they were watching over their flocks. And Luke 2 and verse 13 and 14 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Peace. You know that Jesus Christ is peace. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace." And the Lord Jesus came and he purchased peace for us on the cross. The Bible says in the book of Colossians and chapter 1, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven." Do you know what the word peace means in the New Testament? It means to join together that which is separated. Doesn't that tell us about why Christ came? We're separated from God, aren't we, because of our sin. Our sin has come between us and God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's you, isn't it? That's me. We have all sinned, and because of our sin, we have been separated from God. There's no peace, is there, between us and God? The Bible tells us that we are in a state of enmity, has the idea of being an enemy towards God, because of our sin. But Christ came and he died on the cross and he shed his blood so that you could be joined back to him again, so that you could have peace with God. Are you at peace tonight? The only way you will know peace is to receive Christ into your life, who is the Prince of Peace. Now, I want you to notice something very interesting in the verse. We've looked at those five titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us who he is. He's Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But look back up at the start of the verse and look at this. What does it say here? "For unto who? Us a child is born." Unto who? Us a son is. What's this word here?
Given.
This glorious person we've just described, this Jesus who is God in the flesh, this Jesus who has existed everlastingly for all eternity in the past and will continue to exist for all eternity into the future. Can you see the focus of this verse, that he was given for you? Can you see that? "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." A lot of people give gifts at Christmas, don't they? But you know, most people go through the Christmas season with very little to no thought about the greatest gift that God ever gave the world. Do you know the greatest gift that God gave to man was his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ? This glorious person, this one who is wonderful, this one who is counselor, he has all wisdom, this one who is the mighty God and the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, he was given for you. He was given for you that you might receive him and the forgiveness he brings into your heart and into your life. You know, as we think about this theme of Christ being God's gift, we can think of several things here. Christ is God's love gift, isn't he? We quoted that verse before, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he" what? "He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I really don't know true love in my life. May I say that God loves you. And God demonstrated his love for you when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, as a love gift to you. But think about him dying there on the cross. Think about his blood that was shed. Think about all the suffering he went through. You know why he went through all of that? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He is God and he loves you. and he wants to bring peace into your life, to join you back to himself, to reconcile you back to himself, to save you from your sins. So he's the love gift. He's also, number two, the precious gift. Look what the Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You say, what does the word unspeakable mean? It means indescribable. It means something that cannot be expressed. In other words, it means this gift of the Lord Jesus Christ is more precious and more wonderful than we can even begin to try and express. We can't even begin to explain how wonderful this gift is. Words fail to describe really who he is and what he is to us. But notice importantly tonight that Jesus Christ is the free gift. He is the free gift. What does Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say? Could you read this verse with me on the count of two? One, two. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you see there the gift of God? Can you notice tonight that salvation, this word here, save, you say, what does that mean? Well, it means to be rescued. It means to be rescued from my sin, to be rescued from hellfire, which I deserve because of my sin. You say, how can I be saved? How can I receive Christ as my Saviour? Well, can you see it's not of two things? See the word not there and the word not over here? It's not of yourselves. It means it's not something you can do. And it's not of works. Again, it's not something you can do. So if you're here tonight and you think, well, I go to church, I confess maybe occasionally my sins to the priest, or I go through some religious rituals, or I go through pilgrimages, or I burn incense or say prayers, hopefully that means that one day when I stand before Almighty God, he will accept me. You know that's not true. Salvation is not something you can earn. You can't get to heaven by yourself. You can't get to heaven through your own good works. The Bible says it is not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. You think about it. If you could get to heaven on your own, then why would God need to give his son? Why would Jesus Christ need to come if you could get to heaven on your own? But the reason why God gave Christ is because you and I cannot save ourselves. It's not of works. Look at Romans 6:23. Let's read that, shall we? On the count of two. One, two. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what God offers you this Christmas? What's that there? Eternal life. Isn't it amazing that people can go through Christmas after Christmas and get all wrapped up in presents and things and never receive the gift of eternal life? Can you imagine tonight a gift that means you will live forever? A gift that means forgiveness of sins? A gift that means that God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you? That's what God offers you tonight. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. God gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brings with him forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Would you receive that gift tonight by faith? But now we come to the second question on our second banner over here. Why Christ came. And I want you to read with me the theme verse there in Matthew 1:21. Let's read it together on the count of two, shall we? One, two. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This answers the question, why did Christ come? Who is Christ? We've got a sense of that over here. He's God, the everlasting Father. He's the truth. He's the counselor. Why did Christ come? Here we have it. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. What's his name? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Why do we need a Savior? Why do we need Christ? We'll notice those words at the end. Their sins. We're sinners, aren't we? We don't like to hear it, but it's true. You say, well, I don't think I'm really that bad of a person. You know, the Bible tells us that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, what is sin? The Bible says quite clearly in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law. God gave his law, the Ten Commandments, and we broke that law. We broke his law by lying and stealing, dishonoring our parents, blaspheming God's name, to name a few, committing adultery in our hearts. And so we see that we are sinners, and that's why Christ came. Christ came because we need a Savior. We need his redemption. Do you know what the name Jesus means? It means Jehovah is salvation. It means Savior. We need a Savior, don't we? Because we are sinners. We have all sinned against God. We've all broken his law. But Jesus came. What hope that name brings tonight. The name of Jesus. Jesus, who is the Savior. Jesus, who came to rescue us. That's what the word save means. The word save means to rescue, to deliver. That's why Christ came. This is who he is. He's the mighty God come in human form. Why did he come? He came to save you from your sin. Do you know that? Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ was born to die. Jesus Christ was born to die. In many ways, the shadow of the cross, as conveyed by the picture there, was across the Lord's life right from the beginning. I think that picture really expresses that truth. Jesus Christ was born in a manger, but as it were, the shadow of the cross hung across his life because he came for that purpose. He came to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us the gospel, the good news, 1 Corinthians 4:15, is that Christ died for our sins. Do you understand that tonight? This is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins on the cross, to save you from your sin. You know what? If the Lord Jesus did all that for me, and if he did all that for you, don't you think, now that we're saved, you say I'm a Christian here tonight, don't you think we should give him our all? Don't you think as a Christian that we should serve him with all of our hearts? If God would give his own son to save you and to rescue you from your sin, if God would come in human form and humble himself and live a perfect life and go through the agonies of the cross and shed his blood and die for you, don't you think we as Christians should say, Lord Jesus, I am yours. I will serve you. I am thine. C.T. Studd, the great missionary. He was a great missionary from England. He was a very famous batsman in his day in cricket, and he gave away that career and his fortune and went to be a missionary in India and then on to Africa and lived an amazing life, gave away his fortune for world missions and for the cause of Christianity. And he said this, he said, if Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for him. You say, I'm saved here tonight. I know Christ is my Savior. There's been a time where I received him into my heart and into my life. If God could die for you, could you not live for him? Could you not live for him and serve him all your days? There's a challenge, isn't there, at Christmas as we think about these things. So why did Christ come? Well, he came because we're sinners, and he came because he is the Savior. Born to die on Calvary. Christ died for us. But aren't you thankful he didn't stay dead? Jesus rose again from the dead. And he lives today, and he is able to be your Savior if you'll repent and come to him. I'd like to finish now with one final question, and this one's very much for you personally. We've looked at who is Christ? Why did Christ come? But I want to ask you a question tonight, my listener. What must you do? What must you do now that you know who Jesus is and why he came, that he came to save you from your sins? What will you do with Jesus? You know, Pilate, the man who tried Jesus Christ, the Roman governor, he asked this question, and it's a question that comes down to us today, and in a sense, every person, every man, every woman, every child at some stage in their life must come to terms with this question: what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You understand who he is, you understand why he came, that he was given for you, but what will you do with Jesus? You know, every one of us in this room tonight has a choice. We can either receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the greatest gift of all, or sadly, we can reject him. You know, many people today choose to reject him, don't they? Why would you reject eternal life and choose eternal death? Why would you reject forgiveness of sins and choose hellfire? Why would you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, in favor of living a life for Satan? Why would you do that tonight? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Will you repent and receive him tonight? Well, there's three things you need to do in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be neutral to him. Firstly, tonight, you do need to repent. You need to repent. Why? Because we are sinners. Repentance means to turn. We turn from sin in our own way. It's not about you changing your own life. It's not penance. The word penance never appears in the New Testament, in the Greek text, or in the English for that matter either. Penance is you trying to do good things to outweigh the bad in order to earn God's favor. No, repentance means you come to a point in your life where you realize that your sin is an offense to God, and you're truly sorry for your sin, and you come to Christ, and you come to him desiring that he would change you, that he would cleanse you from that sin. It's a change of mind. You see, at the moment, you're comfortable in your sin. You're happy on the road that leads down to destruction there, and you don't want to change. But repentance means you have a change of attitude and a change of mind, and there's a turning from my sin in my own way and a turning to Christ for salvation. So you need to repent. The Bible says here, repent ye therefore and be converted. You need to be converted tonight, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. Number two, I'm nearly finished tonight. You need to believe, which also involves receiving. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 1:12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can you see that the word received and the word believe occur in the same verse? You know, there are many people today who believe lots of things in their minds about Christ, don't they? Oh yes, I accept all these facts. But do you understand tonight that to be saved from your sin, to receive the gift of eternal life, it's more than just you accepting facts in your mind? It involves you reaching out the hand of faith and receiving Christ into your life. It's an act of faith there, but as many as received him. Have you received Christ? Have you received the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of sins that he offers you tonight? This is what Christmas is all about. It's about the fact that Christ came into this world. He was given for you. He is offered to you as the Savior from your sin. If you will repent and turn, believing that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and that he rose again, and then by faith receiving that free gift of eternal life. Thirdly and lastly, you need to confess. So repent, turn from my sin, believe that Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and then in a simple act of faith, calling on the Lord in a simple prayer to forgive you for your sins and to come into your life. Look at these verses here. I'm nearly done. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, what's that word? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from hell. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at this promise here at the end, for whosoever, that includes everyone in this room, doesn't it? Nobody's left out of this. For whosoever, that means anybody, and that means you. Yes, Jesus Christ is for you. Yes, forgiveness of sins is for you if you will repent and receive it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what's that word at the end there? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin, and saved from the wages of sin, which is death, eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. So it's very simple, isn't it, tonight? You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to pray to Mary. The Bible says, actually, that there is one God, 1 Timothy. St. Paul wrote, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Who is the mediator? Not Mary. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. You've got to come to God through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to come by Christ tonight. You have to come to Christ, believing that he died for you, understanding that you're a sinner, and in a simple prayer of confession saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. There's no magic words, but it needs to come from your heart. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you died on the cross for my sins and shed your blood for the payment of my sin. And I now reach out in faith and receive the gift that you offer tonight, the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of yourself, Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you tonight, what are you going to do? Who is Christ? He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Why did he come? Well, his name is Jesus, means Savior. He came to save you from your sins, and he wants to do that for you tonight. So as we bow our heads right now and all close our eyes, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask you tonight, will you, this Christmas, right now, receive this gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life? Would you right now, in your heart, pray to God, pray to the Lord. He knows your thoughts. He knows, he can hear your prayers. You don't have to speak out loud. He's God. He knows. Would you pray right now a simple prayer of confession? Say, Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. But I'm sorry for my sin. And I now repent and turn from my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you shed your blood to wash away my sin. And now by faith, I receive your free gift. I receive the forgiveness you offer. I receive you, Lord Jesus, into my heart and into my life. Would you pray that now? Words to that effect? Pray from your heart in simple faith. Would you receive the gift of eternal life tonight? The gift of forgiveness of sins? Would you pray that simple prayer? Or words like that. There's no magic words, but from your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart, into my life, and be my Savior. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, was there anyone tonight who prayed that prayer in their hearts? If there is, would you just raise your hand tonight quietly while everyone's looking around? No one's looking around. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, Pastor, I prayed tonight to receive that gift, the gift of eternal life. And I'd like you to pray for me as you close. I'd love to pray for you as we close tonight. And if we can help you in any other way, we would love to do that. Anyone else tonight? Yes, Pastor, I raised my hand and just acknowledge I prayed that prayer. Yes, amen. Anyone else? I prayed that prayer tonight from my heart, asking Christ to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin and to be my Savior. Anyone else? Lord, we thank you for the hands that have been raised, and Lord, for the hearts that have been opened tonight. We pray for those who perhaps have not yet made that very important decision to reach out in faith to thee. We pray, Lord, that in the quietness of their homes, Lord, as they go home tonight, that they might kneel and call on you to be their Lord and their Savior, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have Brother